Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Welcome to Absolute Radio Country, Tucker Wetmore. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm excited to talk to you because I was over in Nashville for CMA Fest, and you were one of the artists that was on everybody's lips. Everybody was buzzing about you, saying, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? What was it like for you?
Dude, it was crazy. I mean, I felt like every show or every event that I had just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we hit Hard Rock and the Broadway shut down. And there's, I heard estimated like 7,500 people. I don't know. It was crazy.
I saw that show, the Hard Rock show, like down right at the end of Broadway, right on the river. And there were some popular artists on that stage, but then you were on there and it was impossible to get, you know, anywhere near the stage. So for you on that stage, and let's face it, I mean, CMA Fest, you probably, like loads of artists, you probably did so many shows at CMA Fest, right? Do you know how many you did?
I think I had like 11 different events.
And so what happens is each event, when there's an artist that's kind of hitting each event, more and more people hear about it and more people hear about it until finally you end up shutting down Broadway. So that must have been like, yep, okay, this is going to be all right then. Was that your first CMA Fest?
Yeah, well, it was my first one playing it. So I went as a fan for, I'll say 2 years now, you know, just like bebopped around Broadway and watched a bunch of different shows as a fan. But this was my first year where I was able to go to different events and play my songs and stuff like that. So it was pretty special.
We should talk a little bit about how you came into country music, because you, like a lot of artists, actually, you were a sports guy. Well, you're from Washington State, and then you went off to Montana to play football. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So many artists started out in sports and then had an injury and then became a country star. I mean, if you guys all got together, you could probably form some sort of Olympic team or something like that.
Super team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But was country music always second for you, or was it, you know, like you grew up listening to country, you always had an interest in country, or was it something where you were injured and you thought, well, I've got to figure out something now?
Yeah. I mean, so I started playing piano when I was 11. I sat down on one day, didn't really get up. For years, you know, I taught myself everything, and then guitar around the same time. And
what kind of stuff were you playing on the piano when you started out?
Man, I was playing like Beethoven and like Elton John and just anything, truly. I like classical stuff. I like boogie woogie. I found out who Jerry Lee Lewis was when I was like 12.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sit there and pound on the keys until my sister hit me with a shoe or something. I started playing around then and kind of put it down for sports for a little bit, and then after sports I was pretty lost. I didn't know what I was doing with my life, and I asked my mom. I was like, hey, what am I doing? She goes, I don't know, go pick up your guitar, go sit in front of your piano. That usually helped you, you know, a couple of years back. And I was like, all right. So I started writing music.
You could have been an artist in loads of different fields, it sounds like. Like country music is obviously where you ended up. But I mean, you could have been a classical pianist. You could have ended up going down the Elton John kind of, you know, pop or rock route. So what was it about country? How did you land there?
Oh, country music just always had my heart. I remember like growing up listening to country radio in the truck, you know, and I grew up listening to a lot of different stuff. Like Reagan was a huge part of my childhood life. You know, like heavy metal, you know, just anything in between, like pop, rap.
But I guess, you know, the great thing about country at the moment, and always country's been pretty open in terms of different influences, even though people don't always think about the history of country music that way. But certainly at the moment, so many different types of artists and different sounds and different styles of music are being incorporated into country. So, I mean, you know, we've had collabs between artists from different fields. We've had country music that sits a little bit more on the rockier side or the pop side, or, you know, we've got R&B. There's a lot of that in country music. I don't think we've ever had any kind of like Beethoven country mashup. You could be the first.
I mean, I could try. It's kind of hard, but...
I don't know. I think you could make it happen. Well, that's interesting, though, because I think a lot of people assume that country artists, like, you know, they started out, they listened to country, they got into country. But of course, you're an artist like any other artist where, you know, all your doors are open to all the different art forms. So it's interesting how you got to country that way. And then you moved off to Nashville. When was this?
I moved, I want to say 4 years ago. In the heat of COVID in 2020, I was 20 years old and I packed up all my things and moved to Nashville.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
And was that, hey, I'm really bored, nothing's going on, COVID has shut everything down? Was it a plan that you were going to move there and you did it anyway, despite COVID?
I kind of came up with this plan during COVID, but I knew I wanted to chase music for a long time. It just felt right, and thank God I did it, because, you know, I'm here now. I just felt right, and I pulled the trigger. I was like, I know I want to do music for the rest of my life. I know I want to try to make a career out of this. The world is shut down. What better time, you know?
Yeah, might as well do it now. Nobody's doing anything. I'm going to do this. How long had you been in Nashville before you got your first kind of like, oh, okay, this is going to work out for me? What was the moment where you thought, yeah, I'm going to be all right?
Oh, man, I'm still trying to find that moment.
Well, you know, it could have been when you had, you know, almost 10,000 people shutting down Broadway on Hard Rock, or it might have been something more subtle than that. Or yeah, maybe you're waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I wake up every day feeling like I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. But I don't know, I guess like signing my publishing deal about 3 years ago, that was probably the first step to being like, okay, I got this chance now. I'm going to try to capitalize on it. And then I wrote every day for, you know, 3 years and started releasing music, and it started doing what I was doing. But like, once I started playing shows, that's when it was like, these are real people listening to my songs.
Yeah.
And knowing my songs and singing them back. And like, it kind of just put it in perspective to me as soon as I, you know, every time I get on stage, or I don't know, it's just, it's crazy, truly.
Well, I mean, Wine into Whiskey must have been a moment as well, surely, because, I mean, that was such a huge song. Congratulations on that. That must have been like, okay, yes, people are connecting with what I've got to say. Is that the first one that people started singing along back to you?
Yeah, I mean, so, little fun fact, I wrote Wine into Whiskey and Wind Up Missing You in the same week.
Okay, which is your new, it's your latest single, Wind Up Missing You, yeah.
Yeah. I wrote Wine into Whiskey on Monday and then Wind Up on Thursday. And I teased Wine into Whiskey first, so I saw that starting like to gain traction and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually teased Wind Up around the same time, probably like a month later or something like that.
Okay.
And that started doing the same thing but like bigger, and it just like, it was like Wine into Whiskey and then like Wind Up just like catapulted out of the barrel. And just
so, I mean, maybe all of your hit songs need to have a W involved.
So I thought about doing like a whole W album. Okay. That's a lot of W words.
It's a lot of W's.
So you wrote both of those in the same week. Were you just having a particularly good week? Were you having a particularly bad week that you manifested into these great songs? Like, what was going on? Did you have on your lucky boxer shorts, your lucky t-shirt? What was happening that week?
I guess. And it was my birthday. So I on Sunday. I wrote Wine and Whiskey on Monday and then Wind Up later on in the week, but I guess
something was happening.
I was in a weird spot in my life as well, so it's okay. Like emotions were flowing, and
do you write, I mean if you're going through a lot of stuff that week, do you find that you write better when you're happy or you're sad? Okay, so it needs to be your birthday, you need to be sad, and it needs to have a W in it. That's the three magic things for a hit.
Yes, sir.
So Twister's the soundtrack. I think this is going to be the absolute soundtrack of the summer. You're included on this, which is a glorious thing, because I mean, that album, that soundtrack is stacked. So that's got to be exciting when you get that call and then you find out exactly what the project is.
100%. No, I remember getting that call. My team called me and they're like, hey, we just got asked to put a song in movie. Only downfall is got to be exclusive to the movie. You can't release it. So you got to create a project for this movie or whatnot.
Mm.
And Like, yeah, that sounds dope. I've always wanted to be in a movie. And then I was like, well, who else is on the soundtrack? And they're like, oh, let me ask the movie people. So they're thinking Lainey Wilson, Bailey Zimmerman, Luke Combs, Megan Maroney, and started listing these names. I cut them off. I was like, absolutely.
Yes.
Let's do it. Yeah. And yeah, and then Connor hit me up for the featuring on Steal My Thunder, which I don't think anyone's heard yet.
Nope.
So yeah, I'm on two tracks on the soundtrack, and it's gonna be so cool.
Oh, it's going to be so cool. The track that you have on is Already Had It. Already, the soundtrack has more buzz almost than the movie does. So this is already a good thing. And like you mentioned, there are so many huge artists on that. And speaking of huge artists, you've been supporting quite a few huge artists as well, right? Out on tour?
Yes, sir.
Who was the first big artist that you got asked to support?
Cameron Marlowe. So I opened up for his Strangers tour, and that got over probably like a month and a half ago. But I was just on the road with John Party this last weekend. I got stuff coming up with like Aldean and Pulse Lindell and
Luke Bryan, Chris Young. I mean, you got
Chris Young. I forgot about that.
And when you first start doing those support acts, presumably
up until that point, those would have been the biggest audiences that you had played for. Is that right?
Yeah. I think this last weekend was the biggest audience. I can't remember the number.
And when you do that, do you feel like, yeah, I've got this, I'm confident? Are you faking it till you make it? Are you excited by it? Are you nervous? Like, what's the vibe?
Depends on the day. I mean, most of the time I come out like a bullet, you know, just ready to fire. But sometimes I do get nervous where I'm just like, I'm still fairly new to all this. You know, I'm a songwriter at heart. I'm just a music lover, truly.
Well, listen, congratulations on everything that's happened. It's so exciting. And we love your music here on Absolute Radio Country, so we're playing it a lot. Any plans to come to the UK?
I would love to. I'll go tomorrow.
Well, you might be out with Luke Bryan tomorrow. You might need to check you might need to ask somebody before you make that promise. But yeah, it'd be great to get you over here.
No, I'd love that for sure.
Debut album on the way, presumably.
Yes.
Okay. And is that all you can say? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll take that. And any other bucket list things? Like, have you done the opera yet?
I have not. They just had me out there to like meet the people and, you know, meet everyone, just kind of mingle and say hi and kind of name in some minds. But
is that how that works? Is you go, you're invited out there to meet and mingle, and then maybe you get invited, maybe you don't. Is that how that works? You don't have to play him a song or anything.
It was super casual. It was like, oh, this is what the opera means. And then they gave me like a tour, and then we're just hanging out backstage, like in one of the dressing rooms. And
I got you.
Pulled out a guitar, played a song or two, and just super, super casual. Just like, it's more of like a hangout.
That seems
chill. Hopefully they ask me to come play it.
Fingers crossed. So debut album, yes, is coming. Does it have a W in the title?
I don't know yet. I haven't found that title track yet, but we have way too many songs to choose from.
Some people release an album with like 30 songs on it. Where are you in that? Are you like a 30 song guy, or are you like keeping it short and sweet guy?
I mean, it's not going to be 30 songs. It's going to be quite a few.
Listen, I'm going to let you go. It was really great to meet you. Hopefully we'll see you in the UK really soon. We got the Twister soundtrack. We've got a debut album at some point in the future coming from you. We've got a chill meeting with the Opry. Maybe something's happening there. So the next time we catch up, I'm sure we'll have loads more to talk about. But it was great to meet you. So thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely, dude. Thank you so much. If I'm ever in the UK, I'll hit you up.
You will definitely be in the UK. So I'll look forward to seeing you when you're over.
Perfect.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.